Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, the Halloween Whopper.
It just came out.
Oh, it just came out? I don't know if I'm going to try it, because I actually saw that.
It's A1 sauce bun. That's what it is.
They have the A1 burger, which is good. They didn't put it in.
I want to try just for the photo op.
That's why I got the double down once. I had to double down just to take the photo. You know what I'm scared of? I'm scared of, have you ever been to Las Vegas?
No.
They have the Heart Attack Grill.
What's that?
It's a place. If there's a scale in front of the building, and if you weigh over 350 pounds, you eat for free.
Shit.
Damn. Oh. So there's a giant scale there, and
so I guess
and the burgers are and the burgers are like the cardiac triple bypass.
Oh,
and they have
what's in them.
You gotta Google it, because I remember reading the calorie count and reading it. I'm like, I fucking wimped out. I'm like, no, fuck.
Nah,
this.
Man, I
is
had
the itis burger from the Boondocks.
No, I don't even know.
I couldn't do that because I had a bad experience just with Wendy's, so I could only
and people,
imagine.
People have literally died there.
Yeah, Wendy's, yeah, that triple stack.
No, I went once. I wasn't more just for bragging rights than anything else. Me and my friend Mike.
Yeah.
We did it, and I believe that he also didn't enjoy himself either. But, dude, I ate that fucking thing, and it was like someone just punched me in the stomach, and the fist just remained. It just stayed there. I felt so horrible after. And, yeah, after that experience, I didn't touch a burger for, like, a very long time.
Yeah, because they had a... They're like,
that was way too big.
Yeah, because their milkshakes are like made out of
children's souls.
No, yeah,
children's tears.
Yeah, they're made out of like butter. It's like a lot of butter is like put in it.
God,
shit.
Jesus,
hell no.
Like here it is.
All right,
A quadruple bypass contains 9,982 calories.
Shit, just eat.
Dude,
a kid.
Strap me on the elliptical for a month.
And the biggest one has 20,000 calories. And I remember because I was gonna eat there, and I'm like, when I saw that, I'm like, you know what? If I die of a heart attack, my last thoughts are gonna be fucking Heart Attack Grill, and I don't want that to be my last thoughts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, no, I don't want this to be my last thoughts. Has to be something peaceful or cool, like,
yeah,
you know, like in my head, I'm like, yeah, it was a good run. That's what I want my last thoughts to be.
Sunrise, sunset.
Yeah. But I don't want it to be like this fucking burger that I had in Las Vegas. It's the reason why I'm dying right now and I'm upset. Death. You know, I want to have a happy death.
It's like also with like Jackson Hole. Those freaking burgers are huge.
Oh,
like,
the burger is bigger than the bun.
Yeah,
and you basically, if you hold it in your hands, you're holding meat.
Because the first time I ever ate a burger with like a knife and fork.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
How huge
but they
it
did
was.
On purpose.
Jackson Hole.
Jackson Hole. It's a restaurant out in Queens.
Yeah, I think there's one in Manhattan.
There's a couple of them. It's a small chain, but they're horrible, though. You do it just to get the... I guess it's just another one of those photo op places.
Yeah. Oh,
it's horrible. It's really horrible. But
my favorite is In-N-Out Burger.
I've never had that.
It's but I've heard... Isn't there a place like in Texas or something where they have like the $100 steak that if you're able to finish it in under 3 hours, you don't have to pay for it or something like that?
They also give it dessert for free.
I mean, they have a bunch of places like that.
Yeah, because I heard like in the history of this one restaurant, only like 3 people ever did it, ever made it.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of places that have challenges like that. Like you have to eat this big ass thing in X amount of time. And I can't do it because I'm a slow eater.
Well, from what I read at this one place, I don't remember what it was called, but like out of the 3 people, one of them was an old lady.
Really?
that actually made it.
Then she died the next
day. But I think it's cool that that if you do make it, that you don't have to pay for it. Because $100 steak is $100 steak.
Yeah. Jeez.
But how big is that? I wonder.
Oh, it's big.
Probably the size of this table right here.
I don't think it's the size of that table, but
that'd be awesome.
I mean, if you figure, if the local steakhouse in Hoboken has a 48-ounce steak, so you could only imagine how big that one must be.
That's like literally ripping the whole cow in half and be like, here you go.
Yeah,
have fun.
90 ounces.
Yeah.
Maybe around like 60 to 90.
Maybe if I had a lot of like the devil's cabbage, I'd be like, okay,
the devil's lettuce.
Yes, I think I would definitely.
Oh, no, the devil's spinach. Wait, what's it?
Devil's spinach, whichever.
Maybe if you had a cabbage for a head.
Devil, and just put any type of vegetable you want.
Any kind of
green.
Any kind of green vegetable. Because the devil's corn makes no sense.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to know about the devil's corn.
Or as the Native Americans call it, maize. Oh, yeah, good times.
Yeah.
What is maize? Corn?
Yeah.
It's funny because in Italian they call it mice.
So which British?
But not spelled like the mouse. It's spelled M-A-I-S.
Oh, we spell it M-A-I-Z-E.
Yeah.
Us engines.
We might have an E at the end. I'm not sure, but
yeah, the fire war is getting cold, by the way.
Yeah, did you see that article I posted about like in Japan there's like a robot for sale?
Oh yeah, but Android 17 from Dragon Ball.
Oh no, not that that's one. That's another. That's literally creepy as fuck. But no, it's another robot that's for sale on the market. It's like $2,000 or $3,000, but you have to sign up not try to have sex with it.
What?
Yeah, you have to sign the waiver, like, you will not have sex with this robot, because it's supposed to be, like, an emotional robot.
And you can't, like...
And I'm just like, if I'm paying for this robot, we're fucking having sex.
And that's how Diego met his second wife.
A.K.A. Android 17. Is it 17 or 18?
Yeah, Android 17.
Version 2.0.
From Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, someone made their own Android 17, man. That's creepy. So, because apparently the eyes follow you.
Yeah,
because... They put in a capsule... So it's like when you visit like whatever they put it in stores, like it's like motion censored. It's like the eyes follow you, and that shit creeps me out.
Even when you post it on Facebook, you actually like when you stare.
They've already made like the lifelike robots in Japan. I've seen the videos of it already.
But this one is just super fucking.
They're not perfect, but they fool like they put one like in a mall or something like that, and they fool people into thinking that they're real until once you see them move and stuff, you can see that they're. They're robots, but while they're just like sitting there, like you know, they have like real hair, real eyes, and stuff. And all of a sudden, like they start like moving like in their weird way.
But the part that I don't get is, you know, this probably gave me trouble with the ladies. But it's like, why do you want an emotional robot? Isn't that the point of having sex with robots? It's like to not deal with the emotional baggage.
And robots are known for like having no emotion, you know.
Yeah, it's so. Just like why are you getting sex with another sex robot or something? You know, like you know, if you want to have sex with multiple sex robot partners, you figure you could do it guilt free. But if you had emotions to it, it's just like, am I not good enough for you?
That's like that bit from The Simpsons where the robot's on fire and he's like, why? Why was I? See, always back to The Simpsons.
Another good thing about sex robots. We don't have to deal with those pesky condoms. Am I right, fellas?
Hi-yo!
You still have to clean up the holes.
Ugh, dear Lord.
It's just an upgrade of a real doll.
We learn about that if you've ever watched that anime, Mezzo Forte. When they have like
set of hentai?
Huh?
Set of hentai?
Yes, but it's like a big budget, like big action film, too. Like they actually sell a version of it that's without the sex. Because it's actually like a good animated cartoon. So
I'll watch that version.
There's there's a lot of people that you know don't like it edited or whatever. But yeah, you could actually watch it the alternate version, which doesn't have the sex in it, because essentially it is a very violent action oriented cartoon. But yeah, but there's a part with an android girl that looks super realistic that they use her as bait or whatever. But there's the scene where like the guy's explaining like how to use her, how she works, and then they go over that. They're like, obviously, you know, they're gonna attempt to rape her, and then they're talking about like how like
obviously
that's what they were trying to catch these guys, and then like they're showing like, oh well, this, you know, you open up this thing here and this area has to be clean and this is where the drain is. Oh, so they actually went into all that detail as to like how you drain the doll
after
the robot.
You're done idly sodomizing her, this is where you drain her.
It's like, a lot of detail for a cartoon. Tell your kids about it.
You've been to Japan
kind of,
a few times. Like, not, I mean, to be honest, like I think I don't know if I mentioned this on any of the podcasts, but I'm not really physically into Japanese women because, you know, personal reasons I don't want to get into, because I don't want to lose our Japanese audience. Sure, but they're a culture, but physically it's not my type because, you know, I'm into
the boys,
bigger ladies. No, that's actually part of the reason why
more pushing for the cushion.
Yeah, I'm on team more pushing for the cushion. But like, how are the ladies out there? Are they like really repressed out there? Same thing with the dudes. Cause are they like, from what you can remember, are they like repressed out there, or are they at liberty?
If you've only been a tourist, that's hard to answer because of the fact that you would have to spend some time with some of them in order for them to open up, because they don't do that. They don't open up to you off the bat. They're very formal up front. You know what I mean? Unless you go to like one of those like sleazy nightclubs or something like that, but I didn't really go to those because that's not my scene.
Oh, that's my scene.
That's your scene, but then you'll also lose all your money. But if we're talking about average people, like right off the bat, a traditional Japanese person in the heart of Tokyo is not gonna be that open to you. Like once you get them, once you're hanging out with one and you're at a place and you're slamming back drinks and stuff like that, yeah, they're just like anyone else. They're really friendly and all that stuff. But right off the bat, at first impression, They're very formal, which might come across as them being very cold, but you know they're actually not. They're just used to being a certain way because of their culture. So yeah, you have to break that initial barrier first. That overly formal exterior that they have.
Yeah, because one of my boys, he's married to a Japanese gal, and he's telling me, he's like, oh, you need to go to a gaijin bar. To-. Yeah, I'm not going to Japan to pick up chicks though. I mean, I will be partying and getting drunk as fuck.
That's like what they said to us. Like the first time you go, they're like, oh, where can we go party? And everybody says the same thing. Oh, you go to Roppongi. Go to Roppongi. You know, okay, Roppongi's fun, but you're gonna go hang out with other foreigners there. You know, you're not going to have the Japanese experience if you go to Roppongi. Like, you know, if you want the real Japanese experience, you have to stick to, like, the other big places in Tokyo, like Shinjuku and Ginza and all that place, which are essentially, like, business-oriented, and they have a lot of, like, shopping areas and all that. But, you know, you have to be careful because there's some places that you just walk in and you're already paying just to be there. And they put a price tag on just about everything. Then you might fall prey to one of those places that has hostesses who's like, the second she sits with you, you're already paying for it, even if you don't want her to be there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you try to leave and then all of a sudden a bill shows up. You gotta be careful places like that. And you know, but there's a lot of cool places too. Like, if you just do a little digging and you look around and you talk to the right people, you find some cheap restaurants or some like clubs that are actually good. And you know, if you want to play it safe, you just do Roppongi or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of great places everywhere. And Tokyo is humongous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I think I'm going to try to do, like, one day each. Like, one day Roppongi, one day Shinjuku. I don't know if there's anything in Akihabara that's nightlife, but definitely got to go to Akihabara.
Akihabara is just the same. It's similar. Yeah. The only thing that's different is if you go to Asakusa, which is basically for tourists. It's got all the pagodas. You have all the photo ops there. And it's like a long row of like vendors. Like, you just could buy tons of food, interesting food, and you know, things for the house, tons of souvenirs. Like, you basically go there to shop and to get all the crap that you're gonna bring to your family,
which I don't do.
Right, but you know, at least you'll get to see the park, and there's a lot of people there. You get to see the pagodas, and it's also like in the middle of Tokyo, because then from there you could just take the subway and go somewhere else. You know, or you could go down to Yokohama, which is where the harbor is, and they have rides there, and there's like a little park, you know, with the Ferris wheel, and it's got this, I don't know if you saw the video that I shot when I was in Japan.
I saw a 10-minute cut of it.
Right, there's that one scene where you see the roller coaster going through the building, like that's in Yokohama.
Oh, wow. Might have to check that out. Yeah, because one of my guys, his name is Chris Charlton of Japanese Auto Wrestling from the Law Network. FightNetwork.com. Yeah, FightNetwork.com. Look them up. Give a cheap plug to the podcast. This is like 10 times more. So that's the kind of guy I am. But yeah, I think he lives in Yokohama. So we're gonna try to hang out one day. Different lifestyle. So it'll just be like a lunch or something.
He's like, nothing too exciting.
You know, because he has like married and kids.
Has the same pants from the second cartoon series. The second cartoon series, he has those pants, the blue with the with. Well, they're not bell bottoms in the cartoon. He's got boots, but it's the golden knee thing, and then like the thing around his waist is exactly like the second series. Had too much comedy. For those of you who follow 60s and 80s anime,
because that's actually a huge part of our demographic.
It's the 70s.
Yeah, the 70s. Who fucked
this anime? That series was 60s and then 80s.
Yeah, I mean, 60s, we did a lot of LSD and shit, whatever. 70s is stupid, man. It's like disco.
I remember the 60s, what was being not born yet.
Yeah, disco. Yeah. And then the 80s, all we did was
fast. The 90s.
6-year-olds.
Yeah. And then I spent several years in a pen in the 90s, so I cleaned ever since.
Okay. Did hard time?
Mm-hmm. 6 years in a Moroccan...
throwing a big boss man joke.
I'll say six years in a Moroccan prison.
Trying to see if he's got the jewel on his mask.
You said drool?
Yeah, he does have the jewel.
Jewel? Jewel. He said drool.
That is totally the second Tiger Mask.
Just
well,
with bell bottoms.
Yeah, I mean, well, the guy playing him is actually Tiger Mask number 4.
Is it?
Yeah.
What the anime was following.
Well, Tony Inoki's like the Hulk Hogan meets fucking...
Ric Flair meets San Martino.
Meets fucking Barack Obama.
Tony Inoki never wore a mask?
No.
No. Never did.
No, Antonio Inoki. I mean, he just converts to Islam. He's not called like Muhammad something.
Really?
Yeah. But Antonio Inoki also in the old Tiger Mask
cartoon.
Yeah, the cartoon. Yeah.
They portrayed him as like a Japanese man, but
yeah, he is a Japanese.
I don't remember if they actually called him Inoki or not. Inoki. I watched it in Italian, so some of the names may have been changed.
But man, you Italians got like way better crap than we did.
It's like, well, that's because the cartoons here, you know, in the '60s and '70s, like there was garbage here. So in Europe, everything was anime with a few American things sprinkled here and there. Like, you know, you have obviously the money makers like the G.I. Joes and, you know, the Mask and all the stuff that had merchandise. And He-Man.
Yeah.
He-Man was huge. So all the merchandise stuff was there. But like 90% of the animation in Europe was all anime. Then now it's different because more American stuff, you know, came out. Obviously, when you got like all the Disney stuff and the Nickelodeon stuff, and once that all came to be, you know, that all started getting mixed into the thing too. So now in Italy, it's a little more mixed, and of course they always follow whatever is selling merchandise. But
nothing from Adult Swim would be.
I don't know because I don't follow it that close. Oh, I'm sure probably some things must be there by
like
now.
Like Metalocalypse or like.
Yeah, anything Rick that's Morty. That was that big probably is there. Yeah.
Speaking of Italians,
great segue, Diego.
Hey,
what's your favorite? What's everyone's favorite Fulci movie?
The Beyond.
Beyond, yeah.
And Zombie.
Yeah, I think for me,
greatest ending ever.
Yes.
The Beyond, yeah, it is the greatest ending.
Best ever. Ending.
Honorable mention.
I think for me, the reason why I pick
Zombie
first is probably because I like the blend of the action and that haunting soundtrack that it has, which is a lot simpler. But yeah, to me, it's The Beyond is just I don't know. It's a little more work to watch because it's a much heavier film.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got that great, satisfying ending at the end.
I mean, the greatest part. Sorry to cut you off. First, my favorite part of that movie is the blind girl, yeah. And it's a very scary scene. Because I was watching it in the theater. Cinema's like, oh shit! Everyone's like, oh shit! We're kind of scared. She's blind. She's surrounded by zombies, and she has a German Shepherd. And if they would have changed the name of the German Shepherd, it would have been a scary scene. But
Dickie.
She's like, get him, Dickie! And the entire crowd. Popped like we're just like Dickie the German Shepherd's name is Dickie.
It killed it.
Yeah, and then yeah. It's like it's okay, Dickie, it's over. And I'm wrong.
The dog's name was like Rocco. It was called like Rocco or something else.
Yeah,
it would have been like holy shit, this is kind of scary. It's very intense. But second she said Dick, get him, Dickie. I fucking lost it, man.
But no, another movie by Fulci. I'll give honorable mention. It's not really like in your face gore. Would be Don't Torture a Duckling. The story is great. It's got some gory elements, but it for a non-gory Fulci movie, that's one to go with. Are we going to bring up Dario Argento too?
Yeah, of course, man.
I guess for me, Dario Argento, damn, so many fucking good ones. Be a tie between...
Before you get there, an honorable mention to me for Fulci would be City of the Living Dead. That's an awesome
Wait, City of the Living Dead, is that the one where...
The chick pukes out her guts.
Oh, so they spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Where starts where like zombies land on a plane, or is that another one?
No, that's we're talking about the zombies in New York.
No,
that one starts with the priest hanging himself in the City of the Living Dead.
Oh no, because like a plane lands, but it's also like a very similar title, like blank of the it's like City of the Damned, City
you
of something.
Sure, you mean House by the Cemetery?
Oh, you're talking about the.
And then like the whole thing happens, and then towards the end of the movie, it's like a guy wakes up. Oh, is it just a dream? And next thing you know, the plane lands, and they come out anyway.
Yeah, it's like City. I forgot the
house. So City of something. Anyway, that movie was terrible.
Yeah,
it was a shitty movie because it was advertised as a zombie film, but it turned out to just be like a
people were like
a zombie, for not a zombie.
It's not a zombie movie.
Yeah, thank you guys, thank you. That's why we're friends.
To me, zombies, it's
Living Dead
and eating the flesh of humans.
Well, not necessarily eat the flesh,
but it has to be Living Dead.
In the sense of the word, a zombie is like a shambling, slow piece of shit, you know. And if you're undead, that's what you are.
Yeah.
you know. But in 28 days later, yeah, they're alive.
And they have rabies.
They have a rage. Yeah. No, it's the rage virus. So that's not a zombie. That's just
it's rabies.
It's the complete it's like opposite crazies. Of what the word means.
Yeah, serious.
It's more like, pretty much it's, taking it, the it's, aspect of
it's the crazies. It's the crazies, and I was I drink your blood, I eat your flesh or whatever. Even though there's no blood, whatever. That one's actually pretty good. But the one that we're talking about, there's one scene where they're like there's like a studio. Like they're like you know they're
TV
like
studio,
TV
right?
studio and yeah, they're working out and like one of the quote unquote zombies like cuts a chick's nipple off. I'm like, zombies don't do that. And I remember one part, like the chick is broad daylight, and I don't know if it's a mistranslation or if it's from the original cut, but the girl's like, if there truly are vampires, they can't hide in the church. Bitch, it's broad daylight, which means obviously they're not vampires.
They are zombies.
They're fucking zombies.
But let's see. Now we're going back to the original tent. Dario Argento. For me, damn, because there's so many good ones. A tie.
I think Deep Red.
Deep Red's one and Tenebrae.
Yeah, which is the one where, spoiler alert again, where it's like a hallway full of masks and you can actually see the killer hiding in a mirror.
Deep That's Deep Red.
That's Deep Red. Yeah, that's the one I remember.
Fondo Rosso.
Yeah, Profondo Rosso. But yeah, it's difficult for me to choose because, I mean, yeah, because I like Tenebrae, I like, you know, Deep Red, I like.
Obviously, everyone's gonna say Suspiria.
I like Suspiria, even though it's, you know, it's a little heavy to follow because we don't have the patience that we had, that people had back in the 70s to sit there and watch a movie that's uneventful for, like, you know, an hour of it. Same thing like The Exorcist, which is like probably the only film that can be called quote unquote scary.
It is.
So I don't find anything scary. That's probably the only film that can be honestly called scary, but still, like, you have to sit through an hour of like of like, you know, all right, you're telling the story, but it's so uneventful. You know, in back then, people had more patience, I guess. And nowadays, you know, you want the story to move along a little quicker.
Yeah, like Rosemary's Baby, if it was released now, people would be like, what the fuck am I watching? Well,
they did a redux of freaking
Rosemary's
Baby. Yeah, but if they released it now, I'm saying, it's so boring.
If it was the first time it was ever released now, people are like, what's the deal?
It's so artsy, yeah, and shit like that.
But, and one thing I noticed about, am I mispronouncing Italian by saying Italian?
Yeah, if you're saying Italian, it's
incorrect. You're a southerner saying Italian.
Yeah, if you're from the south, you can say Italian.
Yeah, because I got it from Tracy Smothers, and it's been stuck with me ever since. But, your eyes get, you know, like zombie, the part where the girl's like her eye.
Oh, that was a great splinter. Scene.
That's one of the reasons why I like that film.
But it's like almost
it was ahead of its time.
But almost every movie
around. I like it.
Relevance that you could think of, like, why the talents
no, look I mean, eyes. Considering that they don't even make horror films nearly anymore. So, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, really? Like, the art scene, horror scene over there is...
No, movies died in Italy with the 70s. And they did, like, a bunch of horror films in the 80s, and then everything just became trash cinema and comedies now.
Yeah, cause there's a lot of, like, one of my favorites is, like, Bronx Warriors, which is...
Yeah.
90s
Bronx Warriors, yeah.
1990s Bronx Warriors in the future.
That was that was one of the few... like post-apocalyptic films that came out, and the thing is, when in Italy, when a film comes out like that, then which Escape from New York. Once one film comes out, then like a whole bunch of others will follow.
Barbarians,
you know what I mean?
New barbarians.
Yeah.
Well, it was the cultist, and then the third film from the same director. Was the New Barbarians. It was not related to the other two films, but there was, you know, like to include it as part of a trilogy, even though it's not.
And the name of the director was?
It was Castellari. And, you know, that whole, like, future, like, you know, the end of New York type of thing was related. That are unrelated. You know, even things like Rats.
Rats had a great ending.
Yeah, it had a great ending. Rats Night of Terror, but that was part of, like, that whole bunch of, like, post-apocalyptic films that came, you know, that followed. Like, you know, like, a whole bunch of them were made like that. Yeah, you know, then New York, then, like, 2026 or something like that, After the Fall in New York. It's another film.
Warriors of the Lost World, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know... A lot of them, they all, you know, that was like, I guess, like the last genre of Italian films that came out was like a little thing. Various, like the few films here and there, that were considered horror came out, and that was it. And then film productions in Italy ended. Then it just became, you know, like trash cinema and comics. And comedies and.
Do you know why it ended?
Or and no? Artsy films, yeah, because those films were not meant for Italy. Those films were meant for foreign markets, because they number one, they would shoot them with no sound. Because they would just always dub them. So they'll be dubbed in multiple languages, sent out to Japan and United States and wherever else. And then that's how they made their money. But, you know, after a while, you know, other countries started making films and better quality, because a lot of those Italian films were, like, cheaply made. All of them, whenever you hear an interview, always have the same story about, like, how they didn't have a big budget and, you know, they did what they could with what they had. Like, they all tell you the same tales, because that's what it was. You know, but after, like, the big boom of the Westerns died out and it sort of started transforming into the...
Spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah, Spaghetti Westerns, which changed Westerns all over the world. Because before that, they were very safe. Like, it was all, like, the John Wayne stuff where, like, you know, you don't...
Gary Cooper.
They weren't showing, like, direct violence. You know, then all of a sudden, Sergio Leone's films came out and... He was just straight up in the first 3 minutes of the film killing people. Like, just like the first time you ever saw in a movie someone just get shot cold and just die right there at the beginning of the film. That changed everything. And then of course, everyone and their mom started making spaghetti westerns. Multiple directors in Italy were all copying the same formula. And who was able to afford Ennio Morricone to do the soundtrack or whatever. Then, you know, and then everyone wanted to have a Barry White type singer who could do like a theme, you know, just like the original Django theme in the 60s, you know, but yeah. the police genre, and then the police from the 60s through the 70s and early 80s, like the police genre was really big, but that one I think stayed more within Italy. That one didn't really, you know, it went overseas also, because, you know, anything from Italy at the time was considered hot. And then, you know, then came the horror, which became really big towards the 70s and 80s. And then once that started dying out, and then you had, like, the B-films, which were becoming really popular, like the Bronx Warriors and all that stuff. That was the last wave, and then that was it. And then genre cinema just died.
Yeah, my favorite.
It's awesome.
Yeah, but they called it, for some reason, it's not called Django, it's called Kioma.
So it's not a part of the Django.
Some people say it is. Some people say it's not. You know how it goes.
Go check that out. But I always think, like, with what he was bringing up with the Italian horror, I think with Cannibal Holocaust, that probably, like, gave it a black eye due to the fact that it was just so violent, and then the fact that it's just, was it a snuff movie? Which, to me, Cannibal Holocaust is just, even to this day, it's just like, wow, it still stands that test of time. And you even got, like, with Eli Roth making...
Because you wouldn't be able to make that movie today.
Well,
they're doing with the Green Inferno now. So.
But no, you wouldn't be able to make
something
Holocaust because they slaughtered real animals.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that today.
Peter would be on your ass like in a second.
I was actually thinking about that today. I was thinking about, like, you know, I thought, you know, one of my friends, she's Peruvian, and she went to go see the Green Inferno. So I texted her like, oh, how's the movie about your ancestors?
Shh, don't be a spoiler.
No spoilers. But I'm thinking, like, you know, it's. She said it kind of delivered on the gore, but some parts are kind of cheesy and blah blah blah. But to be honest, me personally, I'm not really a big fan of Eli Roth. I didn't even like that.
Half the movies were lame.
Yeah, it took forever for shit to happen, and I didn't even like.
No, but it's just I'm not into torture movies because they're all in one note. It's always the same shit. It's like, how elaborate can I make this torture? And this is like you just sitting through another one of those. But I mean, that first one he did, Cabin Fever, was okay. That was actually like a very well made movie. But then after that, you know, he's just like, once you start doing another torture film, I'm over it. You know, they made too many Saws, and then everyone else started making torture films, and then torture films out of France started coming out, and then they're all the same, and it's genre, and that's where I say goodbye.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, to me personally, going back to Cannibal Holocaust, if they cut out that turtle scene, it's like a perfect movie.
But what about the muskrat scene?
Nah, I'm good. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. They're delicious.
Muskrats, yes. Turtles, no.
Yeah, turtles.
But then there was the one scene that was never filmed that was in the script about the piranha scene that never, I guess, who was the director? Ruggiero Deodato? Yeah, he directed a scene that just never made the final cut where it's one of the, if spoiler, one of the natives falls into the Amazon River and he gets a whole lot more fucking shit that he had to deal with, not only from like the animal rights groups, because like Corrado's right, you could not make Cannibal Holocaust nowadays.
Yeah, with this new one, they were like releasing documentaries about how this camera crew came in and how they like helped this village out. Just to be specific,
and that was the thing. They were the first found footage movie way before the Blair Witch Project, Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah,
they were the first. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they did it best.
They did a way better job.
I mean, I hated the fucking Blair Witch Project.
Blair Witch Project, that's a movie that just watched once and that's it.
I didn't like it either. No, I couldn't get into it. Because, number one, you know, me being who I am, like, the second I watched it, I'm like, okay, they found film footage. I'm like, who the fuck developed the film in the woods? That's my first thing. Logic. And then the second thing is, you know, being that I've used cameras before, you know, I know that how quickly a battery runs out. These people seem to have like endless amount of batteries, you know what I mean? Like their cameras just keep running throughout this whole time.
And the excuse they had two cameras. So
even though, man, and if just going into it with that in mind, I was already biased, but it's just people running, you know. Granted, yeah, it's trying to play on your imagination, this and that, and then it's got like a sort of like confusing ending that like. Everyone has a different opinion on, and that was it. Like, it just, I don't know, it didn't do it for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Plus, I want to know, I heard that it cost $30,000 to make. I want to know what the fuck they spent $30,000 on, because
editing.
maybe just to hire the editor or something, yeah. But yeah, because that movie probably would have cost like, you know, $200 to make, mm-hmm. if you got everybody to agree on it. But yeah, it wasn't. I couldn't get into it. That's just my thing.
Probably one of those movies that had the best marketing
behind it. No, perfect. That was brilliant marketing.
Because I found out about it through Fangoria, if that's even still...
That's why the second one failed so much.
Yeah.
Because it didn't, you know... With the first movie, you could have sold anything.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Then when the second one came out, expectations were high, and lo and behold... It was a badly made movie.
Book of Shadows.
And people did not forgive it one bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Because I follow...
For a sequel, they had to really make a good movie. But they ended up making a really terrible film.
Cause, yeah, because I follow this one guy on YouTube called Good Bad Flicks. Google him, Good Bad Flicks. Yeah, and he goes into detail about why Book of Shadows is terrible. And he was talking about how the studio recut his movie. And like it was... In the original cut, it was a whole lot of like gray area. As this one was just like, they butchered it.
Yeah.
So just, if you can, look up Good Bad Flicks on YouTube, Book of Shadows. It explains why the movie went from being a good movie to a shitty movie. And he also goes into detail, same thing with The Crow Part 2, how The Crow Part 2 was a way different movie from what came out.
I liked it.
Because with The Crow, you just need the first two, that's it.
The first one is nowhere near as good as the first one, obviously, but it's not a bad movie. It's a decent movie. I liked it. And also, I thought that the character was... the actor they picked to play the character was good.
Yeah.
I had no idea who he was when the film came out, but that probably helped.
Eric Perez is his name?
Yeah. I do like when unknowns are used. It lets you sort of, like, show up.
It gives you more to build on.
It gives you more to build on, and it doesn't give you any expectations, and it doesn't especially make you biased if you don't like the actor.
Because if you have a marquee actor, it's just hit or miss.
It's just like whenever Ben Affleck comes out with a film, you automatically nerd, but you're gonna go.
I'm definitely gonna see that.
I guess Diego's a fucking nerd too.
Biggest one here.
Yeah, I mean, but you guys are gonna go for that reason. But you know, you're still gonna have a little bit of pain. Going into it knowing who's playing Batman.
No, but the thing is that we'll use Brad Pitt and Inglourious Basterds, which I'm not a Tarantino fan at all. But
Inglourious Basterds, I'm not a fan of that. Like Tarantino from the beginning, all his work is like it's like a cover band.
Yeah, it is.
It's just like, all right.
Granted, I think Pulp Fiction is probably his best film. Just because, but not as entertaining as Pulp Fiction, obviously. But then, yeah, everything else that came after that, sort of like he was incorporating the same formula into how he made the film. You know, it's always like pieces of things that he's seen in other films, and
you know, the soundtrack based on like his favorite music. It was always retro, you know. And although like I kind of liked Jackie Brown a little bit, but it's hard for me to like just straight up be like, yeah, I'm a Tarantino fan, because like some of this shit I don't want to see.
Yeah, like, Jackie, I mean, Jackie Brown is like his version of Foxy Brown. Yeah. He didn't even fucking change the last name.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, Reservoir
absolutely is. Especially the Mexican standoff that's taken right from it. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's a different kind of film, but yeah, that was heavily inspired by City on Fire.
And like all these movies like Kill Bill.
Kill Bill 1 and 2 was good.
I mean, I like Kill Bill, but it's just like I feel like I'm watching like, you know, like Iron Maidens, which is like the female Iron Maiden cover band.
No, that's friggin' Death Proof. I'm sorry.
That's another one of those films that if you get the Japanese cut of it, it's a lot more violent. And they don't do the black and white scenes, so you see all the blood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that in post-production.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of, there was some censoring to Kill Bill because they used black and white in some scenes.
Yeah, no, because I know they did that to avoid the rated NC-17.
As a matter of fact, because before when we used to have Kim's video here in New York City, it was the only way to buy films like that. And I remember that's where I saw it, because I didn't even read about it. I went there and I saw the Japanese a box set of Kill Bill, and on it it talks about like the censorship and all that stuff, and how like they did not use the black and white, and there's a lot more, you know, like limbs flying and shit like that you don't see in the original. So you know.
Yeah, because I know in because we had Kim's here in Jersey City for a while. Yeah, and I that was where I got the it was like kind of like a net after I paid for like a Netflix like version of this, like you know, it's a lot. I might not think about it, like $30 a month where you can rent 3 movies at a time. It was like unlimited, so you just had to go there, rent 3 movies, drop it off, and then you know, keep whatever for $30 a month. And
yeah, that's more expensive than Netflix.
Yeah, I know.
Because Netflix, for a while I've had the Netflix where I was getting both the DVDs and the stream for both.
Oh wow.
Which I think still is.
Yeah, now I just do the streaming.
I still get DVDs because now everything is on the menu.
Yeah, and I'm very cheap. Every now and then cheap.
Yeah, I mean if their entire library was up to par, like, you know, I would only do streaming as well, but you know, plus I'm into like, even though not all of them do, but I like to have, you know, I like to look at the special features and see the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, it's been a huge mark for that.
Commentary.
Yeah, that's true too. So, what's the status of Dead Road? Is everything 100% shot, or? I know we were there when I don't know if we ever mentioned the story how you had that location in the middle of nowhere.
Newark.
In Newark.
Is it Newark?
Yeah.
Or is it near Newark?
It's in Newark. Well, how did you obtain the location first? Who provided that info to you?
I don't remember. It's somebody mentioned it to me and showed it to us, and I was like, I don't remember. And then I think I think Tom was with us at the time, and I asked him straight up, I was like, are you going to remember this place? For next time, so we could come shoot here, and he was like, "Yeah." And I think that's how it happened. So we did it once.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, and then we shot there, and it was horrible because it was in the middle of August.
Oh God!
It was all day, and it was raining
and humid.
And I don't know if you've ever been in the rain all day and shooting, but it weighs you down so much.
In the crack then.
And yeah. Not only that, that was the first time I went there, so we didn't even know about the mosquitoes.
Oh, Jesus.
That place is infested with mosquitoes. And everyone went, except me, because I was smart enough to wear a long sleeve. Everyone went home, like, lit up with mosquito bites.
Yeah. They were raped by mosquitos.
Yeah, I think, Mario? He got the worst
one. Because he has a bald head, so he had them all over his head.
Yeah, he looked like a friggin' his top of his head, like a topographic map of fucking the moon.
Is that the place where you almost, like, died?
Yeah, I think all of us like shared a brief taste with death at that spot. Was Corrado almost like fell to the freaking floor? I remember exploring the place while everybody else said, you know, this was the first shoot that we did in August when it's here in this spot, and we're exploring the place, and in terms of me and Julie, end up finding that there's a ladder all the way to the top, so you get a perfect view of it, but not realizing the ladder was rusty as fuck. And almost off the hinges, so we're climbing up. All of a sudden, we hear a
what the hell? So we climb up, we're like, oh, what a beautiful view. That's okay, let's go back down. So I decide to go down first and let Julie come down second. All of a sudden, the same thing, but then we heard like the metal just going, and it was like, we just like went down. We didn't say a word. We just like literally ran down. We just saw the ladder just like literally come out the hinges and just stood there. It was like, holy fuck. And then Tom, so he's on top of this russet. So I decided to go up there to see, to get a view of it. And I almost fell through. Yeah. And the last time we shot with Diego, Colado, like his foot almost fell through the friggin' floor. Yeah. Everybody had a taste of death there. But how the hell did you get there, Diego?
So, I know. Colado just said Newark, blah, blah, blah. Diego, be there, be somewhere by 7 a.m. I got fucking smashed the night before. I was running late, and I was like, forget it. We have to, you know, obviously I'm just an extra, so they can't wait for an extra. So they left me, and I was like, guys, I'll find it. Don't worry.
Yeah, because I was on the clock. I had people that were eager to leave.
Yeah, so I was just like.
And I had a ride that wanted to leave. You want to be there.
Yeah, so this is just getting there. So I was like, I'll find a place. And I have no fucking idea. I was still drunk in the morning when I first called Toronto. I'm like, I don't even know where I am right now. So then I was like,
I didn't say music. I was like, all right, that's fine. You know, yeah. If you can't make it, we have to go. And then you were like, oh, I'll make it there. So I'm like, all right, fine. And I didn't even think about it. I didn't realize that he would actually make it there because it was in the middle of fucking nowhere. I don't even know because he was going by public transportation. Yeah. So I don't even know where he stopped to then continue to get to that place because we were going by car.
Yeah, and there's like no address or anything.
There was no address. And even when they gave us the GPS coordinates, they were completely
gone. We got lost. Lost in Newark. Lovely story. But
and somehow I showed up and I resumed my character as the lead of Dead Rule. As
we don't know. I think you agree with him.
Yeah, so it was good times. Good times. So, but is everything 100% shot or we're in editing? There's more shooting to do?
I mean, I had the ending shot like 3 years ago, probably. But I have the next episode, which is 9, is done. That one just needs to be edited. 10 is the big one, so that's the one that still requires a like little couple of like maybe like pickup scenes, like maybe someone walking down the street or something like that.
Filler.
Like it requires a little bit of filler, but the bulk of it is there. And then the last episode, which is 11, is basically just a wrap up that just ends the story, you know. Because I, a long time ago, decided not to continue with a season 2, which was the original idea. So I rewrote the ending of the first season as just the ending of the series, and that's it.
But
most of it is shot. I would say we're at 98%.
That's what the guys remember. Deadroad.net, you know, if you got time to kill, you know, watch some, and you like the zombies, just, you know, watch them. Some New Jersey made zombie stuff.
In this regard, the first episode of it sucks.
Yeah.
I've actually reshot it. And it's sitting in my hard drive. But I reshot it from scratch because I hate it so much. I want to re-upload and just sneak it in there and just get rid of the original one.
Diego, what was your favorite episode?
He's going to say the first one.
My favorite episode was the first one with Roberto.
Shoots the camera.
Yeah, but.
And I leave a message on the guest book, too. I like reading the messages on the guest book. They crack me up.
All right, so yeah, guys, there's, you know, join the movement, New Jersey independent horror. You know, I think most of our crowd here is foreigners, but we love you guys. So all right, let's just wrap this bad boy up real quick. Any final words?
I don't even know how we got through this. Like we were talking about like so many various different things.
Teriyaki McBurger.
Yeah, this is gonna be hell for you to edit. It's all disjointed and shit.
Yeah, no idea. Like that's gonna be the new style. The new style is shit. You know, no format. I think that the format thing has been kind of
well, it's hard to keep up with it because people start talking about other things. Unless you have an editor sitting by taking notes and like, okay, I'm gonna cut this, put in this episode, cut that.
There's no cutting.
It is across the multiverse. So there you go.
No, that's what we shot like several hours ago, and that's probably gonna be put up in like 2 months.
Cheap plug
across the multiverse. Yeah, because Corrado doesn't know, but we just shot like. Then you fans are gonna find out right now, but I just milked this guy for like 5 different episodes, and he's like, I'm not getting paid for this.
We're not getting paid for this.
With like some lemonade as payment.
No. Human lemonade. I don't know if that's real lemonade.
Human lemonade.
Yeah. That was real. Last time I had lemonade, it was warm, but I finished it.
the magic. He's delicious. And it kind of tastes like spinach. And on that happy note, just guys, every week we have a different show on
Wednesday. Bitches leave.
We're not cutting it just yet. I'm gonna cheap plugs. We got Across the Multiverse, which we talk about various subjects in their multiple forms. We've got The Road to Tokyo Dome, which is about, you know, me talking to the guys with experience like Corrado and Rich, who have been to Tokyo. And, you know, they give, I think they're going to give me the tourist advice. Hopefully you have fans, leave some comments if you have the advice on Tokyo. We have, what else do we got? We got the Friday night dance party, super dance party, where I do DJ mixes. We've got, movie marks, where we talk about movies that are wrestling related. And there's something else, Metal Mania, Metal Kingdom.
Oops. I might be on copyright. I might have that.
We have a Metal Kingdom, which is that's Hector's thing. He's the boss, and I just hit record. And if I have anything else, I'm starting a new podcast called Podcast the Podcast, where I talk to other podcasters and they do their cheap plugs, and then I go on their podcast and, you know, double cheap plugs. Everyone wins. So just, you know, just stick with us. There's a lot of free content, a lot of good times, and I appreciate any feedback and whatever. So now we can say it together, bitches leave. This just happened.